Amen. Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. I do want to have a special prayer at the close of the service this morning for all those involved in the Judgment House. Many of you have worked long hours trying to get ready for Judgment House. And then a lot involved in the actual presentation of the drama and the scenes. But so many people behind the scenes are doing things. And so everybody from those out in the yard and security and those who are parking and watching the parking lots and security, and then everybody else in every face, and those who will help get some food together for them as well. And then we want you to continue to pray. You come at any time. Tim and Wendy can assign you as a prayer walker to go through with the groups and to pray. I talked with a young lady this morning who lives in Wilmington, North Carolina. But when she was a young person, she attended Judgment House in Osborne Baptist Church up in Eden, North Carolina, where I pastored for 10 years, and not at that church, but another church. And she's now a grown lady with children of her own, and she wants to come, and she's bringing some folks from their church, hopefully tonight they can get worked in. But if you're listening to us on the internet and you want to try to come, we do have walk-in space. That is, you have to kind of wait and be worked in. I think most all our reservations, I think Thursday night, we still have some that you could reserve a time. But outside of that, it's going to be walk-ins and work-ins. And so you try to come if you can and you'd like to, and they'll make sure they get you to go through. So you pray about that and come on and be with them in that. Then you have your Bibles open. Now, if you have seen the brochures and heard Brother Tim announce and us announce, the title of Judgment House each year is different, and it's a different scenario and a different story. And so tonight we start, and it's called Shaken. And I don't want to give away anything that you may see, but I'm going to share with you that thought this morning from the Word of God, Shaken. How many of you have ever been where there was an earthquake? You've been somewhere close proximity and you felt an earthquake. I'm kind of weird. I would kind of like to be in an earthquake one time where there's not anything that will fall on me. Anybody else feel that way? You just kind of like to sense it. I was watching this morning for a little while, something called Aerial America. You've heard me mention that before. It's kind of a flyover of all the states, and it talks about the different parts of it. They were doing Missouri this morning, and I was watching it, and they talked about two catastrophic events in the history of Missouri. Both of them happened in the 1800s. One of them was a tornado that came in and went right through Joplin, and it just about destroyed the whole city. Thousands were injured. It was weighing the billions of dollars worth of damage. Three-fourths of the structures in that area were destroyed. It was one of the largest recorded tornadoes of all time, such great devastation. But the other one happened several years before that, and it was the largest known earthquake, recorded earthquake, in American history. And it was so large, it destroyed many places right along the edge of the Mississippi River. And it was such traumatic force of that earthquake that it raised the level of the river and reversed the flow of the Mississippi River for a short time. I mean, just like you take a water bucket and turn it up sideways, it's what it did, and it ran the Mississippi River backwards for a brief time. It, of course, was devastating, but the impact, now, I don't know if anybody was here. Bobby might have remembered it way back in the early 1800s, Bobby, but it was so devastating at such a great magnitude, largest one ever recorded on this continent, that was felt in Washington, D.C., all the way across through West Virginia, Virginia to Carolina, all the way across to Washington, D.C. That's one earthquake. You know, when people talk about the devastation that will occur in what we call in the Bible the Great Tribulation, it's going to be so horrible that the Bible says that if those days were not shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. And people try to explain it with the nuclear bombs and this, that, and the other. But you know, God could do the same thing with a tornado, hurricane, earthquakes. When He destroyed the world the first time, He just sent a little rain and opened all the fountains of the deep and flooded the whole world and destroyed everything in whose nostrils is breath of life, except for those eight souls and all the animals inside the ark. That's going to happen again, not a flood, but it's going to be an awesome time. I want you to look with me in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And in chapter 12, Paul writing and challenging the Hebrew believers, it says in chapter number 12, and by the way, while you have your place there, you're holding your place there, would you go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 2, and then I'm going to read a couple of passages of Scripture there too, but I want you to get both places so we don't have to take so much time. But I'm going to share quite a few Scriptures with you this morning. I'll have you to note them on your little notepad there or your paper that you've got, or either try to turn to with me. And so in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, you have that. Now go to the Old Testament, find the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 2. And I'll read a passage of Scripture there as well as a second one in the book of Isaiah as well. But now look in Hebrews. This will be our text. Hebrews chapter 12, and look with me, please, at verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, this is the book of Haggai, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. He said, there's coming a time when I'm going to shake not only the earth like a great, huge earthquake, but I'm going to shake the heavens as well. And he said, the reason for that is that everything that can be shaken will be shaken or destroyed, that which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, he is quoting here, the Apostle Paul is quoting a passage in Haggai chapter 2. I'm not going to have you to turn there. But in that passage of Scriptures, he talks about shaking the earth and the heavens, and he says that every nation will be shaken. That day's coming. Now, in Isaiah chapter number 2, I want to read in Isaiah chapter 2, and I read verse 19 here in this passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 2, and look at verse 19. And they shall go into holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord, for the glory of His majesty, when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which he hath made each one for himself, to worship to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord, for the glory of His majesty, when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. What an awesome picture that just is, a visual in our mind. When God shakes the whole earth. There was in California many years ago a great earthquake in San Francisco. There was loss of life and massive destruction localized in that one area. It's happened around the world. We have been to Yellowstone in the last 5 years, two or three different times. They have a series of earthquakes, and they're ever increasing in Yellowstone every year, slight earthquakes, and the earth's crust is moving and weakening. And he's saying that there's coming a day when God will judge this world, when he's going to do something here on this earth. Now, I want you, while you're there in Isaiah, to look over at chapter number 13. Why is he going to do all of that? Why is he going to do that? Look in Isaiah chapter 13, and I'll read first verse number 11. Isaiah 13 and verse number 11. I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Skip over to please verse 13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, in the day of his fierce anger. Then I want to go to a New Testament passage, and you can make note or you can turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, I want to look at chapter number 3 and read just a brief word there for you in 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'll read verse 10, one verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you that you're God. Your power is not diminished. Your authority has never been relinquished. You're still in charge. You're the sovereign God of this universe. You fashioned and made everything that is in it. You formed man out of the dust and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. You have not vacated this world. You have not abandoned this world. You're at work in this world. You have a plan. And God, I thank you that part of that plan and the major part of that plan was your redemptive work in giving your Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And our Father, I want to thank you for your promise that heaven and earth will pass away. But our Father, there is a place called heaven where our inheritance is secure, that where rust doesn't come or moth doesn't come, where there's no limitation on the presence and power of God. God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would help us this morning to get a grasp of the awesomeness of God and the impending day of judgment on this earth. And God, I pray that you would cause men and women, boys and girls who don't know Christ to hear the voice from heaven as we read in the Word of God. You said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And if they'd come to you, they can be saved and have eternal life and live forever and have a place, a home in heaven. But God, I pray, God, that the cares of this world and the distractions of this world would not keep them from trusting Jesus. And for those who are saved, our Father, and when we see the decline of our society and our nation and things around us, help us to understand that everything's right on time, that God, you have a plan, that God, those who have defied the God of this Bible, the God of this universe, who've mocked him, made laws contrary to what he said is right, God, those who have rejected you, who claim to be atheists and agnostic, those who embrace demons and devils for their God, one of these days, our Father, the truth will come out. One of these days, there'll be a great shaking, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Everything that's false and, Lord, that's not right will be destroyed. And only what will be left standing upon the rubble of this world will be the plan and the purpose of Almighty God and those who've been redeemed by the blood. Lord, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost will make this so real to us this morning. And God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. all things will not continue as they are. In the book of Peter that I read to you, the Bible said in the last days there will be scoffers who come, and they say, where's the promise of His coming? For all things continue as they always have been. People are marrying and giving in marriage. They're living their lives. They're dying. And the world just keeps on going. But there's a timetable, and it's coming to an end. In the Old Testament, there were prophecy after prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world to be born of a virgin. And the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. That means God sent His Son right on time. Bethlehem happened right on time. When these young ladies are expecting, there's a date they can calculate, and they go to the doctor, they can estimate, and some occasions the baby comes right on time. But I've been around long enough to know the baby comes when he wants to or she wants to, not when the doctor wants it to, unless they do something like a cesarean or something. But God has a plan. He's not altered that plan. He's not changed that plan. He's not tearing His coming. It's happening. And for those of us who are saved, it's called a blessed hope. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We'll be caught up together to meet our loved ones in the clouds, to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But for this world, dark days are coming. It's called the tribulation period. According to the book of Daniel, it's a 7-year period. First 3 years will be an awesome time. There will be a worldwide upheaval. There will be a need for the world unity. And Antichrist will rise to rule. In the middle of that 3.5 years, having given Israel permission to rebuild the temple, he'll walk into that temple and declare himself to be God. And then all hell breaks loose on the earth. The Holocaust under the Nazi regime was nothing compared to what will happen during the Great Tribulation period. Not only the wrath of Antichrist and all of his cohorts, but the wrath of Almighty God poured out in the bowls and vials that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. And in this passage of Scripture, they're looking far past the current history of Israel. The Assyrians came and took the northern tribes captive, and later the Babylonians came and took the southern tribe captive. They've been dispersed until 1948. Well, they came back for a brief time, but they came back as a nation in 1948. And so all that's fulfilled in Bible prophecy. But God said, this is coming to an end. And He gives us plan for how we can escape it. That is, He said in the book of 1 Thessalonians, God has not appointed us to wrath, and we have escaped the wrath to come. But there's coming a great shaking on this earth, when God shall shake this earth, and everything that can be shaken will fall down. I maybe have shared this with you before, but I wanted to try to illustrate, and I didn't know an occasion of an earthquake, but I do know the first time many years ago when Regina and I visited Charleston, South Carolina. I'm always fascinated with history and all those beautiful old Civil War and prior Civil War homes down there and other places. And so we went through one of those homes. It's right on the waterfront there, down in Charleston. It's a beautiful home, built in the early 1800s, I believe, maybe late 1700s. But it's still beautiful. And out back, there's a cook kitchen. They had the fire where they cooked everything out there and brought everything in the house. That's where we heard the story about hush puppies. And all of you know the story about hush puppies, that they cook out there, and when they bring the food out, the village dogs would gather around them, get all up under their feet. So what they started doing was cooking little pieces of cornbread. And so when they got ready to deliver the meal out, they came out and threw those little pieces of cornbread out. While the dogs were eating that, they took the food and went to the house. It's called a hush puppy. And that's where it got its name. But I was fascinated with the architecture. No power tools, anything. Everything's just beautiful. And then they began to tell us that, I don't know when. It was in the 1900s, I think, sometime about 1950 or something. But somebody bought that home and had the idea to connect the kitchen with the house. And so they went in, they built a structure according to all the modern building codes and hurricane standards and everything, power tools and all of that. And they built a connecting part of the house to the old handmade cook shed and the house. And then Hurricane Hazel came through. And when it was over with, the house built in the original house that was built in the 1800s or late 1700s was still standing. The old kitchen was still standing. But what was built by modern technology in the middle was gone. Just washed away. I stood there and looked at that. That's fascinating. I've never been to Rome, never been to the Colosseum, but I've read about it and saw pictures of it. Rome in her glory when she ruled the world. She was the dominant world power, the ruler of the world, the great Roman Empire. Gibbon's book on the rise and fall of the Roman Empire tells about how their morals declined and the nation was destroyed. But there was a time when that Colosseum looked like a modern-day football stadium, packed with thousands and thousands of people. And there they were. And they were there with the gladiators. But a large portion of that was for the execution of Christians, where they fed them to the lions and released the lions and tigers on them while they were out in that arena. And the people would just cheer, the bloodthirsty crowd, for the death of Christians. Unarmed or slightly armed Christians were marshaled into the Colosseum. Those great Roman warriors with their swords and lances and battle axes and everything else would fight those Christians and dismember them and cut off their head and cut up their body. And their body, the blood was flowing that Colosseum to the cheering crowds. That's all destroyed now. It's pretty much just ruins. You go see the ruins of the Colosseum. That's come and gone. Because that which can be shaken will be shaken. You've seen that over time, but there's coming a time when it will not be in time. I was looking at some of the news about the tornado that hit down in Florida. Hit in the middle of the night, darkness, and tornado came through, and it just devastated a large area, one of the towns there in Florida. Didn't last very long. When they got up, something they'd worked for all their life was destroyed and gone, just like that. That's how it's going to be one of these days. People's put life and treasure and every ounce of power and strength and cunning and everything they have into things that will crumble one day, in a moment, in a short time, in the day of the Lord, and it'll all be gone. All be gone. I remember hearing Dr. Jack Hudson preach one time about something about cars or this, that, and the other. And he said people spend thousands and thousands of dollars on cars. He said, I drive an old Chevrolet. He said, but I got to reading that one day the earth will melt with a fervent heat. And he said, I'm pretty well sure that the ashes of a Chevrolet and the ashes of a Rolls Royce will look very much alike. And so if the fire falls, it doesn't matter what you're driving. It's what's in your heart that counts. And that's true today. Notice this passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews. He said, there's coming a day. There's coming a day that I will shake. I want to sober you this morning to make you realize, thank God for what you've got. The Bible said if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. He said, 6 days shall you labor, and the seventh day you'll rest and worship God. And so God expects you to do that. God blesses us to have that. God's given us homes and cars. He wants us to honor Him with it and enjoy it. But I'm here to tell you, it's not going to last forever. Real estate, meaning property and land, going to melt with a fervent heat. It's all going to be gone. Everything is going to melt and be gone. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. You say, Brother Billy, what's going to be left? I'll share that with you in a moment. But notice, I want to read the text again, get it firmly in our mind. Verse 27, and this word, I'm in Hebrews chapter 12 again, and this word yet once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I heard a guy on Leon the other day say he was beating peas in a bag, field peas. He dried peas, he had them in a bag, and he had a stick, and he was beating them. And what he was doing, he was busting those dry peas, and the peas would go out, and then he said, I'll take and lay them out. And he said, the wind will blow away all the refuse, and the peas will stay. Windowing, I believe, is the word they use for that. I may not pronounce that right. But it's what separates the chaff from the wheat. And they, sometime you see them, and they have it on like a blanket, and they're throwing up that wheat. And when they throw it up, the wheat's heavy, and it falls, and the husk is blown away. That's what he's got a picture of here. Everything that's husk, everything that's useless is going to be gone. And only what's going to be left is that cannot be shaken. I'm telling you, you need something. That same program I was looking at this morning had a little segment on the financial collapse of what's called the Great Depression and what happened. I remember Brother Mays Jackson telling about the Great Depression. As a little boy, he was in a wagon and his daddy went in town to the bank. And he said when they got in town, there was a crowd all around the bank and they was hollering. He said it was just pandemonium. He said the bank was closed and they had a sign, no money. And he said his daddy began to weep. He never saw him cry before. He said, daddy got off and talked to several people, and then he got back on the wagon and started back home. And he said his daddy never spoke a word all the way to the house. And when they got to the house, he walked in the house and he told Brother Mays' mama, his wife, he called her name, and he said, we're ruined. We've lost everything we've got. Everything's gone. And he said, my mama loved God and walked with God. Said, my mama turned around from the kitchen sink and walked up to him. She said, let me tell you one thing. She said, we have not lost what counts. We've lost all of that, but that don't mean a thing. We've still got Jesus and heaven's still our home. Holy Ghost of God still lives inside of us. There's coming a day that there's something very basic you better have. It may not be the day of the Lord that takes everything you got. It may be catastrophic illness. It may be some tornado. It may be a hurricane. But everything that is made, everything that can be shaken, will be shaken by God ultimately in the end. And you'd better have something to stand. I was fascinated by one little statement in this passage of Scripture. I'll call your attention to it, please, down in verse number 27. This word, yet once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made. Watch this, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. There are some things that cannot be shaken. Our economy may collapse. There's no promise that you and I will outlive the democracy of this nation. It could be that this nation will not exist like it is today 20 years from now. And I hope maybe I'm still around. There's no promise of that anywhere in the Bible. But my dear friend, there are some things in the Bible that cannot be shaken. And he mentions one of them here in this beginning. Notice what he said in verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved or shaken. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. And by that, I want to say to you, the purpose of God. He has purposed to save men. He's purposed that he would have a kingdom on this earth. He's purposed that you and I could be redeemed by the grace of God and become part of the family of God, and that he would rule and reign on this earth, and that we'd live together in heaven all the rest of our days. Look in your Bible, please, in Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, there's some things that cannot be shaken. That's what I want to be a part of. That's what you ought to want to be a part of. That doesn't mean that you don't train. Doesn't mean you don't get your education. Doesn't mean you don't work a good job. Doesn't mean you don't get to have an enjoyable life. Take your kids on vacation, do those things, go fishing or go shopping or whatever you want to do. But in all of that, you give God the glory. But you'd better have something that will not shake. And that is based on the purpose of eternal God. Notice, if you will, please, in chapter 46 of Isaiah, verse number 9. Here's this wonderful passage of Scripture, and he said this. He said, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done. I mean, in eternity past, he told things that were not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. He said, calling a ravenous bird from the east and a man that executes my counsel from a far country, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. The purpose of God is not shaken. You see nations rise and fall. You see continents and cities and counties that were here and now they're down. Things going haywire everywhere. But the purpose of God has not been detoured nor detained. He's right on time. And he said, what I have purposed to do, I will do it. He has a purpose. What is that purpose? He sent his son that you might be saved, that you might live for all eternity. He made you a promise of a place called heaven. And he said this earth and this heaven will pass away, but there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And his purpose that. I'm telling you right now, intellectualism has not deterred his purpose. And atheism has not deterred his purpose. He's right on time. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And he's not altered that plan nor changed that plan. The purpose of God cannot be shaken. Now, I want you to know, regardless of what you see with your eyes or hear with your ears, you know this. He said, you remember this. He said, if I've said it, I'll do it. Not only can the purpose of God not be shaken, but the power of God cannot be shaken. I read last Sunday evening when we baptized and had the Lord's Supper, that wonderful statement of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. All power. His power cannot be shaken. I see mighty men playing football. Fourth quarter begins to take a toll. You see their bodies get weak. You see injuries begin to happen. And all of those weeks of training, they wear out, they give out. Heat exhaustion and all that continuous football that they do, they get tired. But the Bible said, he is not weary, neither does he faint. And the God of Israel does not sleep nor slumber. His power is not diminished. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. He's able to keep all that come to him by faith. He's able to take care of every need. His power is not diminished, and it cannot be shaken. Regardless of what happens in your life, my life, what goes on around us, I want you to know his power is still the same. He's still God. He's still all-powerful. He still has it all. His purpose cannot be shaken. His power cannot be shaken. And then lastly, I say to you this morning, his promises cannot be shaken. I've been reading through the book of Romans in preparation of preaching on the Romans, but in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, he's talking about Abraham and God working miraculously in he and his wife's life. And he says this of Abraham in chapter number 4 and verse number 20, and he's really talking about himself. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God the glory, and be fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. He said, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He said this, Abraham believed that what God had promised, he could do. And I promise you that his promises will never fail. His promises never, never will go away. In the book of Numbers, is a wonderful passage of scripture. And it says this of our Lord, of God. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You can take it to the bank. What God says to you, he'll do. Here's what he said. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And Paul said, I believe this. I'm fully persuaded that that which I've committed unto him, he'll keep unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you're able to ask or think. His purpose is not shaken. This world, everything you see is going to crumble and fall. I look at it sometime and I think that's sad, but I've never seen the new heaven or the new earth. Boy, it's going to be a glorious time. There's coming a time that you and I will live in during the millennial reign and then in eternity in a perfect environment, the beauty of which we could never, ever describe. And it's all because of His amazing grace. His purpose is not shaken. His power is not shaken. And His promises are not shaken. You can depend on what God said. We're going to be faithful to the end. And He said, because of that, because we know that God's going to shake this world, that that which can be shaken will be shaken, but there is something that cannot be shaken. And that is the purpose of God and the power of God. And my dear friend, the wonderful promises of God. When it's all said and done, we'll shout the victory and give Him all the glory because He did what He said He would do. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? I knew that when God laid this on my heart, it would be a different type of message. We're looking forward to Judgment House and to all that will happen and for souls that'll get saved. You'll see in there something along this line in a micro picture. Those who've ever been through an actual earthquake have got some picture of what it's like, what it feels like to be helpless, to be shaken just like the earth is shaken, to try to find somewhere to run and hide, be protected from the falling debris, to know that you're not in control anymore. He said He would destroy the haughtiness and the pride of this nation, of this world. People are proud of their sin. They're proud that they don't know God. They're proud that they think that they have got so intellectual that God is no longer relevant to them. One of these days, all that's going to shake. But you can rest assured on these things. God has a purpose. God has a purpose. And God has the power to accomplish that purpose. And God's promises are never shaken. You can depend on Him. Shall He speak and not perform it? Oh, He's not a man that He should lie. And what He said, He'll do. If you'll give your life to Him, He'll save you. He'll take you to heaven. You'll live through whatever you have to face in this world and know that whatever can be shaken will be shaken. But truth of the matter is that that cannot be shaken will remain. And for those who have eternal, everlasting life, that doesn't ever change. That's not shaken. Death can't rob you of that. Disease can't rob you of that. You'll have it for all eternity. His precious Holy Spirit of God said, I'll never, ever leave you or forsake you. That's a promise that will not be shaken. He didn't say, I'll not leave you if you're always faithful or if you always do just right. He loved you and He died for you. He purchased you. He promised, I'll never leave you. You can depend on that. When your world's falling apart, where are you going to stand? There's a verse in the Bible that said, if the foundations be destroyed, where shall the righteous stand? Here's where we'll stand. We'll stand on the eternal purpose of God. We'll stand on the power of God. And we'll stand on His promises. He'd keep us, and He will. Heavenly Father, I pray right now the Holy Ghost of God would move in the hearts of every person here. I pray for the believer that, Father, things may not be going well for them right now. They may not understand all that's going on in their life. It looks like everything's out of kelter. They're not in a space of a place of blessing, it seems to them like. Everything's gone backwards. financially or physically or family-wise. God, there's some things that cannot be shaken. And God, I pray you'd help us to focus on them and hold on to those. And God, for those who don't know Christ, I pray today, our Father, in the media audience and in this building, that they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I want to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do and what you're doing right now in the hearts and lives of your people. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, we're a little different this morning, but God's real right where you are, right where you are. If you're here this morning, you say to me, Brother Billy, if what you say is true, that he's going to shake the heavens and the earth, he said that. He said, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Only what's real is going to remain standing. And only what God has done himself will remain standing. He'll save you. But if you're not saved this morning, when your life is coming apart, your world's coming apart, he's the creator. He can hold it together. He'll keep you no matter what happens. And you can trust him. But if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, and you say, Brother Billy, I've never been saved. But I'd like to know that before it's too late. And Pastor, would you just remember me in prayer? Nobody will see your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you in any kind of way, but I sure would love to pray for you. You're here in the building. You say, Preacher, if I die, or if this comes, the day of the Lord comes, the rapture happens today, and we go, I want to be ready. I'm going to be ready before that great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And Preacher, I want you to pray for me that I'll be saved before it's too late. Would you raise your hand in this building, all across the building? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved, and I want to know I'm saved before it's too late. Anybody like that? How many of you this morning are Christians this morning? And you say, Brother Billy, I'll be honest with you. I go through times of big question marks. Everything can go wrong is going wrong. And I need to know that there's some things that cannot be shaken. Some of the things that I hold dear may be gone, but what I hold that's true will remain. And Preacher, I want you to pray for me that I'll be able to stand on his purpose, on his power, and his promise, the things that cannot be shaken. And I want you to pray that I'll be able to do that. Would you raise your hand across the building this morning? God bless you, my friends. Mine's up. You pray for me. Amen. I want us to do this. And will you look this way now? It's hard to get everybody around, but first of all, Tim and Wendy, are they right over here somewhere? Where y'all? Tim and Wendy, will y'all stand up right here? And for our guests and visitors, Brother Tim is my assistant pastor, and they direct so many things around here. But the drama ministry, this is a huge, huge, huge project. The physical work of it is amazing. But then the planning that started last year, as soon as it was over last year and all of the whole year, and they carry that weight on them of everybody. If you get sick, don't feel like coming, you just call Wendy and say, I can't make it. But then she's got to get everybody else. And they pray all the time for folks. So I want you to bathe them in prayer. If you are in the scenes, you are an actor doing any part in the judgment house, would you stand, please? All these who are going to be depicting Christ and the gospel, every scene is fit together like a puzzle. There's not one important scene or two important scenes. It's all important. Everyone looks at them. They watch from the youngest child to the oldest adult. And those, they're watching you, and they're going to see Christ in you. And I'm going to pray that God bless you. All those of you who are working in the sound or lighting, let's just remain standing, if you guys will, for just a few minutes. If you're going to, in sound or lighting, and you're not standing, will you stand? How about those who are going to be working in security, prayer walkers, or counselors, if you'll stand? Amen. Those who are going to be working in the parking lots and back in the back, maybe in the registration and getting people in, will you stand? And if there's others that I've neglected to mention, I want you to stand. You see, a large portion of our church family is involved in this, and you can be a part as a prayer walker or a counselor. you lead people to Christ in there at the close. But I want us to bow together right now. And I want us to pray God's blessing on all of these friends. And I hope everybody's got anything at all to do with the Judgment House. You hope you're standing. And there's others probably not here this morning. But tonight they begin, and we've got 5 nights. And it'll be tiring because about every one of these work public work as well. And so God will give them physical stamina, spiritual strength, a spirit of cooperation and flexibility, and that things will go wrong, and God's going to work in it anyway. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I believe the earnest desire of all these friends and of this entire church is that men and women, boys and girls, may come to know Christ. And I, Father, what a unique ministry. What a unique way to physically, visibly present the gospel truth. And God, I pray it will make an impact. The young lady who's now married and has children of her own, as a young child, went through Judgment House, and it has affected her now into adulthood. And she wants to bring some of the young people from her church tonight because of the impact it had on her. Now, Father, not just the presentation, not the costuming or the drama, but the message of the drama, the Christ that's presented. God, what a change is made when the Christ is lifted up and people come to know Him as Savior. And God, I pray, God, that You'd keep every one of these friends well and strong. Give them safe traveling mercies back and forth every night. Give them special strength and stamina through the week as they work public work and then come back every night that they have the presentation. And God, I pray that You just bless them. Lord, reward everyone 100-fold. Our Father, every person that has any part, including all the prayer partners in this church and all those who don't have an actual physical part, our Father, who lift them up in prayer, God, we band together, and we know, God, You'll reward because of their desire to honor You and see people saved. God, for God's people to be helped and encouraged. And I pray, God, now, right now, that God, You give a special touch, a special anointing. Give our Father a spirit of joy. I pray there'd be a spirit of excitement about doing this for You. And God, help them to recognize night after night after night that Your presence is real on them. And they're standing on that which cannot be shaken, Your eternal purpose in Your eternal power. And God, with Your eternal promises, God, we cannot fail. We will not fail because of You. And we give You all the praise and honor and glory and magnify that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus, that every knee will bow to and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God bless our friends now and the rest of all of our church family and all our friends in the media audience as well. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.